Si usas la frase persona precavida vale por dos, the Colgate Total Active Prevention System is for you. Con una pasta dental reformulada, un cepillo de dientes innovador y un enjuague bucal antibacterial diseñados para trabajar juntos y ser 15 veces más eficaces al reducir el crecimiento de bacterias in just 6 weeks, starting from week one. Compared to a non-antibacterial fluoride toothpaste and flat trim toothbrush, helping you prevent oral health problems like cavities and gingivitis before they start. Cómpralo en shop.colgate.com/total and be dentist ready.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Sabrina Zohar Show. My name is Sabrina Zohar, and I am your host. Hello, friends! We're back for another solo week. And this week, I listened. I heard. The videos went viral. The comments spewed in. I got so many fucking DMs. We need another episode on limerence. So we're back, my babies. We're back with limerence at a different angle, though. I wanted to talk about this more than just like, it's dopamine, it's attachment styles. And it's like, blah, 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 blah. Okay, cool. I'm sure we know that. Let's go deeper. Let's understand different practices and different ideologies, different schools of thought. Let's give deeper perspectives and understandings about limerence. And plus, always, you're going to hear my obnoxiously long stories that I always share with you guys. And we're really going to jam-pack this episode. So I am fucking amped. Listen to the whole thing if you want to get the full kit and caboodle experience. But we're here for you, babes. And as always, if you need anything, that's why we have the courses. We have the breakup course, the nervous system course, or the foundation course. Whatever you guys need, invest in yourselves. There are options and you have a lifetime access to them and all the tools you could possibly fucking need, whether it be me, Masha with the nervous system course, or Britt Frank and the breakup course. We're here to have your back, babes. So guys, don't forget, follow along on the socials, subscribe on YouTube, listen and rate and review the show wherever you're listening. And as always, please, please, just use kindness in our verbiage, right? You can leave whatever reviews you want. I will never stop you from that. But please don't forget that there is a human that reads it on the other side. And so we are building and cultivating a community of acceptance and love. And if this is for you, amazing. We want you here. And if not, that's also okay too. We don't take any offense to it. But we're just trying to cultivate a lot of love and respect. So leave comments. Let me know wherever you're listening. I want to hear your thoughts and your feedback. And if you need more help or something didn't make sense, comment us. Let's have the community support you guys. So, without further ado, let's get right on into it, shall we? Okay, so let's talk limerence. I have been there. I have done that. I'm embarrassed by how many times. And truth be told, limerence was the state that I lived in more often than anything else, right? So like, I'm gonna ask you a couple of questions. Do you feel like you're trapped in your own mind, obsessing over someone who barely gives you anything back? That's limerence. But the thing is, like, what a lot of us misunderstand, it's like, it's not actually about them. It's about you. It's about your unmet needs and the patterns you didn't even realize that you were repeating. And that's what we're gonna dive in today. We're gonna talk about what comes up. Where did we learn this behavior from? Who taught us this bullshit? And then how to break free. And it's not just for them, but like, also for you, how to break free. Because, gal, oh my God, every time I dated somebody, I automatically would go into fantasy land. I lost count on how many times. And like, even this was, I mean, definitely in the earlier stages, like, oh my God, I remember dating this one guy and he was like a really big studio owner. I'm not going to say what, it's a very famous like company. And it was like a whole rigmarole. And I met him while he was at the company, but like we never pursued anything. Both of us were in relationships, like just wasn't appropriate. And then we matched like 2 or 3 years later on apps. And we were like, oh. And I remember the first date just being like, he's so handsome. He's so funny. He's so tall. He's so charming. And like, oh my God, we kicked it off. We really jived. We really connected, I thought. But like, he was just breadcrumbing me. Like he would just give me bullshit excuses. Like I lived alone in my own apartment and he lived in his parents' basement. And I would always just be like, do you want to like come over? Do you want to hang out? And he'd be like, oh, sorry, the drive is too much. And it was like, he lived in Jersey and I was in Brooklyn. It was all of like 30 minutes. And it was just always something. It would take us 2 months to get together again. But then he would be texting me of like, how I'm the amazing and how this and that. And it's like, until I started to just realize like, wait a minute, it took me a few months to realize like I was being strung along. But before I even realized that, I just started to create these castles in the sky. I started to think of like, well, oh my God, because he's super famous and he's popular and everybody knows who he is. So if he likes me, it can help my clothing line. It can help my credibility. It'll help my self-esteem. And then him picking me means I am good enough. I am worthy. I am deserving. And it was really more so about what did this represent to me? What did this mean to me? Because here's something that I'm going to say, and I'm going to say this with love. We only obsess over people that don't make us feel safe, and that is because the idea of them is so much sexier than who they actually are. Because think about the people that do create safety. More often than not, I get they're boring. I'm not really that interested in them. But yet, the ones that are causing chaos, that are causing confusion, that are gaslighting, that are causing all of these different aspects, and might not be gaslighting. Maybe these people are just not being honest, right? Those are usually the ones we obsess of, and those are usually the ones that we hyperfix on, because typically speaking, we're clinging to a fantasy. Because someone asked, why do I keep thinking they're the one even when I know it's unhealthy? And it's like, because you're thinking and clinging to the fantasy because it offers a sense of hope and escape. But realistically, what actually is it? It's a distraction from the real work of meeting your own needs. Yep, I said that. Because more often than not, when we hyperfix on somebody, when we hyperfocus on somebody else, then what we're doing is we're saying, I need them in order to be safe. Putting somebody on a pedestal, putting them into this fantasy. That's why I like the whole DeLulu. It's like, it's not cute. This whole like DeLulu thing of like, whatever, just imagine that this is going to be everything you want. It's like, I don't want you guys to be set up for failure. And I was, because Disney lied to us. Disney fucking lied to us. Disney sold us a false bill of goods. They told us, well, if you just be a princess, right? You just sit back and don't do a goddamn thing. A man is going to come in, swoop in, knight in shining armor, right? And they're going to save you. They're going to take you away from this sadness, right? Cinderella, sad poor girl, was in the fucking basement and no one ever loved. Jasmine, right? Oh no, she couldn't leave. She didn't have any freedom from her father. All of these Disney princesses were sad, were down, were bummed, were held back. And what did it take? A man to come in and swoop and save the day. And this isn't a gender norm, right? So if there are men listening being like, how do I apply this? It's like, you're the savior. How does that feel for you? Doesn't that feel really fucking exhausting to feel like your job is saving somebody? And then to the other side of it, right? Whatever gender norms, whatever gender you want to put this as, I don't really care. I'm here for whatever you guys want to do. Put the pronouns in. For the other side of it, right? The person that's going to be saved, the person that is going to be the one that they're going to come and get. I don't want to be a princess because a princess implies that I haven't done anything and that my father has everything and I have no choice and power and I just have to sit there and wait for somebody. Well, instead, I want to take control of my life. And that's where limerence really starts to come in. And it really starts to, it's a breeding ground of fantasy, of disassociation, and an outlet. And it was an outlet for me because that's why I was boy crazy. That's why I would fantasize and hyperfixate. It's the same as like celebrities, right? We think about like, I remember I was obsessed with Heath Ledger. And I'm obsessed. And him, Brandon Lee from The Crow. Oh my God, I'm aging myself with that movie. I had plenty. Brandon Boyd from Incubus. I had a thing with the name Brandon. And I'll even give you an example. I had a thing with the name Brandon, and I really believed that that's my soulmate. You're going to come, right? That's that limerence. And the first man I ever dated, his name was Brandon. I overlooked every red flag because in my mind, I had this fantasy of they're going to come in and save me. It's this man named this. And it's like, sure enough, my partner's name is not Brandon. And at the end of the day, that was me disassociating. That was me saying, they're going to save me. They're going to make my life better. If I'm just chosen by them, then maybe my parents are wrong and I'm not a piece of shit. Maybe my mom and dad or my dad specifically, when he tells me I'm stupid and nobody's going to listen or that I'm too much or that he doesn't have patience for me, well, maybe if this person accepts me, all of that will go away. It doesn't. So I want to talk about a different technique. So actually, I'm super excited. In one of my lives, a therapist commented and said, hey, have you heard of NARM? And that's neuroaffective relational model. And I was like, no, go on. Because I'm always looking like DBT, CBT, right? So there's cognitive behavioral therapy. There's dialectic behavioral therapy. There's internal family systems. There's NARM, neuroaffective relational model. Like there's multiple different types of therapy. So please, as you guys are looking through, I get a lot of people that ask like, what should I be looking for? See what works for you. For me personally, like EMDR does not work. CBT was not my thing. Like, I mean, I liked it, but like I needed more. And IFS, internal family systems, which is what we're going to talk a lot about today, was really something that resonated with me. So NARM shows us if we are going to look at the relational model, limerence often stems from survival strategies formed in early relationships. So when you didn't feel secure or emotionally connected as a child, your brain learned to associate longing and chasing with love. So it's very similar to like if we look through the lens of like the attachment theory, right? It's a lot of same, but different. But as an example, like if you had to earn love through an achievement or a compliment or people pleasing, then limerence feels familiar because it's going to mirror those same dynamics. And I was talk about guilty of that. I only saw it as like, okay, well, when I'm told, you know, I only get love when I can do something for my caregiver, or when I shut my mouth, or when I'm not too much, or when I get their attention. I started to act that out in my adult life. And I was constantly craving the attention from other people. And I didn't really understand that, like, really where that came down from was like, I was taught that. You know, and that's like why a lot of the work that I do really revolves around like, what are your patterns? That's why I love the foundation course. It's because I started with, let's identify your patterns. Like first things first, first week off the bat, we need to understand where have you been? Where did you learn? What did you learn? What are you repeating? Before we can then understand how to undo them and where you learned it from and all of those things, we need to understand what they are, right? And something I love in IFS, so Internal Family Systems, is like, it's Britt Frank does, her new book Align, go get it. If you're looking for a new read, it's amazing, but the parts work, right? So in IFS, if we're looking at it through that lens, limerence can reflect an internal battle between exiled parts of yourself, right? So like the inner child who felt neglected, and then the protective parts, so like the inner critic that keep you stuck and longing. And that's actually like when Britt was here and we did, she and I were doing like just kind of my own little like IFS thing together. And we were going over everything and we were talking and she was starting to ask me and she was like, well, wait, who is that? Who has the mic? And I was like, what do you mean who has the mic? And I'm like, oh, that's true. Who are the exiled parts? One thing she always said that I loved, she was like, whatever photo you look at when you're a kid, whoever you cringe at, that's who needs you. And so oftentimes, like, okay, so for me, if I'm going to put myself back into that dating circumstance when I was like hyper-focused and obsessed with people, so the part of me that was exiled was the one that felt like I was too much and that nobody was ever going to love me. And if I just shut my mouth, if I play the cool girl, if I don't ask this guy, like, what is it that he wants? If I didn't hold my boundaries, if I didn't hold, right? And so that was the exiled part of me of the like, you're too much. You need to stop. You need to stay back. Right. And then the inner critic that was there was reminding me of that to keep me stuck in this loop of like, no, don't you dare try to get out of this. I'm trying to protect you, girl. You've only ever known this. But the reality was, that's all I ever did know. But that doesn't mean that that's all I was going to know. Right. So we have to look at what parts of you, right? It's a question my therapist asked me that like blew the lid off of me. What parts of you don't feel lovable? What part of you feels like, no one's ever going to, right? For me, it was that I was too much, that I'm fucking loud, that I curse a lot, that I talk really fast. And it's like, it doesn't surprise me that I then create a career where I am putting myself on display every fucking day to have some jack-o'-lantern just respond, comment, and tell me, I don't like how you speak. You need to change this because they're uncomfortable, right? A woman that shows up confident in who they are and is saying, well, this is who I am. You're all welcome here, but I don't have to change who I am. That's a threat to other people, right? It's like that one statement's like, I'm not intimidating, you're intimidated. And for me, I could let myself stay in this loop and then I wouldn't be here. If I allowed myself to stay in this conscious, cognitive thought process of like, you're not good enough. Nobody likes you. You're too much. But then that would mean that I was exiling those parts myself. That would mean I was reaffirming that to myself. See, you are too much. Look, nobody else wants you. I don't either. So if we're looking at this through the IFS lens, what part of you do you think is coming out to try to keep you safe?
Chapter 10. Ronan's eyes widened as the moon enveloped their secret sanctuary. Go, he warned. I'm losing control. Luna defiantly stepped forward, tracing the scar across his jaw. Then lose it, she whispered. She was ready. She has Nexplanon. Etanogestrel implant, 68 milligrams radiopaque to prevent pregnancy. A non-daily prescription birth control for women that goes in your arm and not in your uterus. Don't use Nexplanon if you're pregnant or may be pregnant, have or had blood clots or certain cancers, have liver disease, liver tumor, or unexplained vaginal bleeding. Once the implant is placed, you and your doctor should feel for it. If at any time you can't feel the implant, contact your doctor right away and use a non-hormonal birth control method, such as condoms. Removal of the implant may be difficult or impossible if it isn't where it should be. While uncommon, ectopic pregnancy, pregnancy that occurs outside the womb, can occur, which can cause serious internal bleeding, infertility, and even death. You are likely to experience changes to your period. Ovarian cysts may occur and usually disappear. Nexplanon may raise the chance of serious blood clots, which can cause heart attack, stroke, or death, especially if you smoke or have other risk factors. Nexplanon doesn't protect against HIV or STDs. With less than one pregnancy per 100 women who use Nexplanon for 1 year, Nexplanon is over 99% effective, no matter the fantasy. Talk to your doctor, call 1-877-467-5266, or visit Nexplanon.com for more information. Ask your doctor about Nexplanon.
Okay. Only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first... There. The last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
So what I want you to ask, and it's a really important question to ask, what does this part of me think I'll lose if I stop obsessing? What do you think will happen if you stop obsessing? What are you scared of happening? They'll forget about me? Ah, so that's the real fear. That's the real fear. It has nothing to do with who they are. You're just worried that you're going to get forgotten. Right? Do you see what I mean by when we start to ask deeper questions in a different way, not why do I keep doing this, right? So somebody asks, why do I feel like I'll never find someone else if I let them go? Well, because that's a narrative that's gone into scarcity mindset, not reality. That's your fear. That's the fear space. Think about it. As a kid, you are worried because you don't have another option. You don't get another set of caregivers, right? You can't just be like, I'm done with them. Let me swap it out for a healthier pair. You would have probably gotten your ass kicked. I would not be here right now if that happened. And so we have to start to even get curious of like, that's true. What am I scared of happening if I let go of this person? I'm never going to find anybody else. Okay. Where do I feel that in my body, right? Maybe as a kid, I found like I was never going to meet anyone else. But as the able-bodied adult that I am right now, do I really believe that there's not one other person out of 9 billion? And I understand it. I have the same fears of my career. Right? Like I might get, we could think, well, there's millions of podcast listeners. Scarcity doesn't just go away. I grew up feeling scared that we weren't going to have the money, that I didn't know if my dad was going to be there. Like that doesn't leave. And it didn't just show up in my relationships. Then it started to manifest in my career stuff. Always being worried that like, what if we don't have enough? What if we don't have enough? To the point where my fucking accountant called me and said, you're the boy who cried wolf. And I literally said, excuse me, what do you mean? And he goes, you always keep telling me that this is it, right? We're losing everything. He's like, but then I look and you're doing even better from the month before. And that was where I realized like scarcity doesn't mean it's factual. Scarcity is just, it's a cognitive bias really that's trying to protect you to think this is it. You don't have anybody else. And now I want you to ask who has the mic? Doesn't that sound like a child? Doesn't that sound like a kid in a room that's stuck going, but you only have mom and dad, so you need to do what you need to do. But you don't. We don't know who these fucking people are, right? And so I want you to have this reflection. What is this person's behavior mirroring about your relationship with yourself? I said it. I went there. What? So if you're going to tell me, you know, I hear this every day of like, well, they treated me like shit and they didn't do this and they, what does that say about me? So if somebody is treating me like shit, right? So if we're thinking of, if I'm deep rooted in this limerence, this fucking obsession, I can't breathe, I can't sleep, I can't eat, you're dysregulated, right? That's why Masha and I created the nervous system course as well. That's dysregulation. My body is feeling that my body is only safe if they have this person. Right. And so let's even look at the contrast. What is limerence? It's high intensity. It's rooted in fantasy and it creates anxiety fueled by longing. So I would love to ask, right? So when you're obsessed with somebody and you're like, oh, well, I've only known them for 3 days, right? But yet they didn't text back now and you're spiraling. It's the inconsistency that is keeping you hooked. Because again, what happens? The cortisol spikes and then the dopamine is the only thing that's being released in the anticipation of them texting. So constantly waiting. Anything that you wait constantly for, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? But then you're dating people that may be emotionally unavailable or not. And then what happens? They don't do it. And then it's, see, I knew it. Cognitive bias. I knew it. See, nobody wants me. And it's like, well, yeah, but look at the people you're fucking dating. Look at the people that you're trying to get to pay attention to you. And then you come back and tell me as to why they're not paying attention to you. Whereas real love is reciprocal. It's grounded. And it creates safety and trust over time. Right? They show up consistently and you feel calm rather than anxious about their intentions. Instead of when I think back on the guy that I was like obsessed with, and many of them, the reason I couldn't feel grounded was because he wasn't offering me clarity. And he was specifically not because look how muddy his water were. Look how his world was. He is still fucking a total hot mess. We don't speak anymore for the best because not everybody is meant to be in my life. So I want you to try this reality check exercise. I want you to list 3 things they do that make you feel valued. So I hear this all the time of like, but I'm so crazy about them and it's love. Okay. 3 things that make you feel valued. Do they make you feel seen, heard, and understood? Do they make you feel safe? Do they listen to you? Are they thoughtful? Do they make you feel like you're valued because they're super reciprocal and the love that you're showing as well? Okay. Then I want you to list 3 things they do that make you question their commitment. Mm-hmm. Every time I try to have a conversation with them, they divert it. They keep telling me that they're not sure. They're not willing to have these conversations. They're not making consistent plans with me. I never know when I'm going to hear from this person. They told me that they recently just got out of a relationship. Then I want you to look and say which list aligns more with the reality of the relationship. And that is what I mean by, like, we got to start calling you guys out on your bullshit. Because someone asked, how do I stop confusing anxiety with attraction? And it's like, well, the difference is that attraction that feels like anxiety often signals unresolved wounds, not compatibility. So when we have this, the constant anxiety, we have to stop and say, what are they doing to help this? Or how are they aiding and adding to it? It doesn't always, not everything is your anxious attachment style. Not everything is, oh, well, it's my attachment style. No, sometimes this person's treating you like shit. They're breadcrumbing you. They're giving you one word answers. They're not giving you clarity, which is anxiety inducing. Where that becomes anxious attachment is what it means about you. I'm not good enough. I'm a piece of shit, right? Even the most secure person will still feel anxious when someone is playing games with them. But the difference is they'll say, wait a minute, this isn't a reflection around me. I might feel confused and anxious because I'm a human, but that doesn't mean that I have to make this about my self-worth, right? And I want you to really reflect. Do you feel seen, heard, and understood? Or are you constantly chasing their validation? That's why we get stuck on limerence, right? And then we start to think of, like, how do we actually start to fucking release this? Well, there's also an addiction aspect here, because your brain isn't just grieving the person, it's grieving the story you created about what could have been. And then let's talk about the somatic practice. Your body then holds on to the relationship as sensations. This is why thinking about someone can trigger tightness in your chest, butterfly in your stomach. All of a sudden your heart feels like it's like, because your body doesn't know how to differentiate. It's the same as, like, when you tell your brain something, your brain doesn't know if it's actually happening or not. Your brain is just believing based on the energy and what's happening within us, right? And when you tie your identity to being chosen by somebody, then letting go feels like it's letting go a piece of you, right? I remember that. I remember those days where I was like, no, because letting go of them had to acknowledge, like, oh, well, maybe this wasn't going to be the fantasy. I had to let go of it. When I was letting go of the guy, it wasn't him. That dude sucks. Like, I don't know how else to say it in a nice way. That dude fucking sucks. He is not, like, just as a person, like, he's not a good person. This isn't somebody that I'd be like, oh, go to bat for this one. He was treated me like shit and continued to. But the difference would be, and the biggest question that I have is, again, what was coming up in my body? If I had to let go of him, for me, what letting go of him would have been having to acknowledge and say, but then I'm letting go of the future of my company, where I thought I was going to be, right? Who I thought I was going to be, where I thought I was going to have, all these connections and people that I thought I was going to have, those were all gone. And it's really, really important to start understanding and getting curious of, like, yeah, what am I afraid of letting go? What am I? I want you to, guys, write it in the fucking questions. Write it here. What part of yourself are you scared of losing? And so someone said, how do I stop checking their social media? Okay, here's the reality. That's like someone saying, well, how do I make sure I get to the gym every day? It's like, only you can motivate yourself. So block them, mute them, replace the habit with a meaningful action. Journal, call a friend. Every time you check their social media, every time you look to see where are they, have they gone on the apps, are they on Hinge? What you're doing is you're reinforcing the cycle. You're letting your body know, see, I'm just waiting for this. And we have to change that. The first thing Britt Frank said in the breakup course, the first fucking thing she said is, this is going to suck and it's going to hurt. And I need you to know that, because getting off an addiction loop, I want you to see this person as a drug. Every time you're waiting for their phone call, when are they going to choose me? What's happening? And you get all up in arms. You sound like a fucking addict who is waiting for their next hit. And then if you don't get it, you fucking freak out until you get it. And it's just enough to get you until the next moment comes where you're like, now I need more, right? And so I want you to ask, what am I afraid of will happen if I let go of this connection? Is this rooted in reality, or is it an old narrative of I'm scared of da-da-da-da? Because rarely are the people that you obsess with that fucking amazing, because if they were, you guys would have a relationship.
Chapter 10. Ronan's eyes widened as the moon enveloped their secret sanctuary. Go, he warned. I'm losing control. Luna defiantly stepped forward, tracing the scar across his jaw. Then lose it, she whispered. She was ready. She has Nexplanon, etanogestrel implant, 68 milligrams radiopaque to prevent pregnancy, a non-daily prescription birth control for women that goes in your arm and not in your uterus. Don't use Nexplanon if you're pregnant or may be pregnant, have or had blood clots or certain cancers, have liver disease, liver tumor, or unexplained vaginal bleeding. Once the implant is placed, you and your doctor should feel for it, If at any time you can't feel the implant, contact your doctor right away and use a non-hormonal birth control method, such as condoms. Removal of the implant may be difficult or impossible if it isn't where it should be. While uncommon, ectopic pregnancy, pregnancy that occurs outside the womb, can occur, which can cause serious internal bleeding, infertility, and even death. You are likely to experience changes to your period. Ovarian cysts may occur and usually disappear. Nexplanon may raise the chance of serious blood clots, which can cause heart attack, stroke, or death, especially if you smoke or have other risk factors. Nexplanon doesn't protect against HIV or STDs. With less than one pregnancy per 100 women who use Nexplanon for 1 year, Nexplanon is over 99% effective, no matter the fantasy. Talk to your doctor, call 1-877-467-5266, or visit Nexplanon.com for more information. Ask your doctor about Nexplanon.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
Chapter 18. Prince Lorian's voice gently wakes you from your dreams of him.
I can't face one more sunset without you by my side. Come with me and I vow your desires will be my North Star forevermore.
You're ready. You have Nexplanon, etnogestrel implant 68 milligrams radio peg to prevent pregnancy. Nexplanon is a non-daily prescription birth control for women that goes in your arm and may take a few minutes to insert by your doctor. Don't use Nexplanon if you're pregnant or may be pregnant, have or had blood clots or certain cancers, have liver disease, liver tumor, or unexplained vaginal bleeding. Once the implant is placed, you and your doctor should feel for it. If at any time you can't feel the implant, contact your doctor right away and use a non-hormonal birth control method such as condoms. Removal of the implant may be difficult or impossible if it isn't where it should be. While uncommon, ectopic pregnancy, pregnancy that occurs outside the womb, can occur, which can cause serious internal bleeding, infertility, and even death. You are likely to experience changes to your period. Ovarian cysts may occur and usually disappear. Nexplanon may raise the chance of serious blood clots, which can cause heart attack, stroke, or death, especially if you smoke or have other risk factors. Nexplanon doesn't protect against HIV or STDs. With less than one pregnancy per 100 women who use Nexplanon for 1 year, Nexplanon is over 99% effective, no matter the fantasy. Talk to your doctor. Call 1-877-467-5266 or visit Nexplanon.com for more information. Ask your doctor about Nexplanon.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
Now let's get into some tools. So one thing I really love is IFS self-talk. And so something I get really curious about, and like that's when we say a part, you guys have all been doing this, you don't even realize it. When you say a part of me, right? And that's why I love Inside Out, the movie. It's all about IFS, a part of me. And that's why also I was saying today, the episode on limerence, it's not about, like, we know about what limerence is. It's an obsession. We know that it's this high that your brain is going through. It's not actually about the person. It's typically unmet needs. It's the parts of you that you're ignoring. And now let's talk about the parts, right? And so I want you to ask the part of you that's obsessing, like, what are you trying to protect me from? What are you trying to protect me from? You're obsessing over this person. So for me, when I was obsessing over the guy, what are you trying to protect me from? From being alone, girl, and from being somebody that nobody's ever going to respect. I was scared that I was never going to find anybody that would love me enough to help me grow my business. I was scared that I was always going to just be waiting for somebody else. Okay. And then how can I help you feel safer without relying on them? Well, how can I show up for myself? Right? I don't need somebody to come and create everything for me. I could do that on my own. But you know what I do need? I need someone that'll support me. I need someone that answers my fucking phone when I have a moment. I need somebody that genuinely has the bandwidth to show up for me. I need somebody that's going to be consistent and that somebody that's going to be thoughtful and someone that's going to be empathetic, right? And now, does that match? No, because that person needs to be me. I can't always be waiting. Like, there was the video I stitched that went mega viral, and the girl was like fucking losing her shit, having a hyperventilation panic attack. And she's like, I hate this about myself. I hate this. I always obsess. And it's like, okay, you hate that part of yourself. Now, let me ask you, the more you hate something, do you think you're going to get over it? Do you think you're going to heal through if you fucking hate something and all you keep saying is how much I'm so tired of this. I can't stand this. Now, let me ask you, as a kid, imagine your parents, your caregivers were saying that. I can't fucking stand this about you. Was that going to make you go, oh, yeah, I feel better about myself? No. Instead, it's going to make you hate and shame and blame even fucking more and go deeper and deeper into the loop. Instead, now we're looking and going, how can I love those parts of myself? Right? How can I help myself feel safer instead of relying on other people? So do I really need this person to text me good morning? Or can I create that safety that no matter what, I'll be okay because I have me and that I don't know who these people are. And the only reason I want that is validation. And I can create that validation within myself. And so, okay, I want you to take out your journal and I want you to write down the story you've been telling yourself about this relationship, right? I want you to think about like, and I want you to rewrite it. So the example might be, they're the only one who gets me. Really? Right? The new story might be, I deserve consistent love that matches my needs. They're the only one. They're the one for me. Really? They might embody characteristics of a partner that I'm interested in, but they don't have all the desired needs that I actually deserve. Right? We have to start to look at, they're the one. They're the only, right? When these big words, I want to also ask, who has the mic? Doesn't that sound like a teenager? You might think of like a teenager, like, I came, oh my God, he's the love of my life. I'm going to marry him. And you're like, oh, okay, girl. Yeah, yeah. Tell me how that works in 5 years when you get to college, right? And it's never actually that, but yet we're coming from that place still. And I want you to really think about, how can I rewrite the story? I need them to I need them in order to feel safe. How can I create that safety within myself? I'm safe because I have me, not because I have other people. Actually, you're more safe because you have you more than other people. Right? And then I want you to start to use some somatic practices to tap into your body to disrupt the parts. And that's why I love the 5-4-3-2-1 method. 5 things you can see, 4 things you can hear, right? That keeps you present, scanning for safety, checking in even with your body. Where am I feeling it? I'm feeling it right here. Okay, what is this part trying to tell me? And then I want you to replace the time you'd spend thinking on them with intentional actions for fucking you. Right? Go learn a new hobby. Go on Eventbrite and start to see what's happening in your community. Just do something for you. And someone asked, what if I don't feel strong enough to let go yet? Well, the thing is, you don't have to feel 100% ready. You just need to take one small step because healing isn't linear, right? It's a process. What does it look like for you to feel strong enough? What does that look like to you? What does strong enough look like? Okay, well, that person wouldn't have texted that person. Okay, what do I feel like I don't embody for me to achieve that, right? Maybe it's tools. Maybe it's that I'm scared of acknowledging the parts of myself that'll actually need the healing. More often than not, that's really why people don't start to do this work is because they don't want to see those parts of themselves. Another question was, how do I stop making excuses for their bad behavior? Well, I'm going to put it this way. Every single excuse you make delays your healing, right? So I want you to look at, do the actions and words align, right? Not your hopes, not what they could be, not what every single time, right? And then we want to see, is there progress, right? Like Ryan and I, we've had the same conversation quite a few times. His stuff. We have my own, right? And he and I work through it. I'm specifically talking about me to him, not him to me. I can't talk about that. I'm not him. And we've had a lot of the same issues, but I see progress. I see him trying. I've talked to his therapist. Like there is a versus it's just this person keeps telling me they're busy. Well, okay. Are their actions and words aligning? This person keeps telling me that like they don't have the bandwidth. They don't have the priority or they keep canceling plans with me last minute. It's like, then stop excusing their behavior because you're so fucking scared of being alone. I'd ask you, this is a question I used to ask myself. If you had somebody that was all the things that you could dream about, would you give a fuck about this person anymore? And more often than not, people are like, no, it's like, that's why. Because I could have the King of Sheba show up and I'm like, but I do love my partner and they've got all these qualities that I think are amazing and I'm really happy with them. Versus if my partner weren't fulfilling any of my needs and I was just so limerent and obsessed with them, well, then anybody else that would come and listen to me would satisfy a need more than this person. They're two different things. And we have to also look, like limerence exposes where you've been outsourcing your value. We want to talk about high value. This is it. It's your opportunity to stop relying on others to feel worthy and start finding that shit within yourself. And this is where it's also really important to heal your inner story. Because if love has always felt like chaos, now is your chance to rewrite the script. And someone had asked, my heart broke. Does limerence mean I'm broken? No! Limerence just means you're a fucking human because it's progress, not perfection. But I want you to also look at this, like someone else had asked, how do I stop feeling ashamed about falling into the pattern? Well, the shame is going to keep you stuck, right? And again, why do you think I have the foundation course? Recognize the pattern. Recognize that this pattern has developed as a way for you to cope. And now you have the tools to change it. I have one of my clients and I love her. And I'm sure she's listening. She listens to all the episodes. And she always tells me, but I'm scared, Sabrina. I'm scared that when I go back into dating, I'm going to turn back into the same woman that I was. And every time I ask her and I'm like, what's changed this time? And she's like, well, I have you. And I'm like, okay, not about me, but what else? And she's like, well, I have tools. I have this. I have this. I have this. And so then I'll go again. Are you still scared about not trusting yourself? And she'll sound, she's like, oh, you're right. I actually do trust myself. I do know a lot more than I thought. You're more aware now. That's how you're going to stop these patterns, is by going, wait a minute. I know now. I know too much. And now once I know, I can't undo it. And then I want you to ask, what does this experience teach me about how I want to show up in relationships? You know, like I said, I get written every single fucking day of this person's treating me so poorly and they're treating me like shit and they're doing all of these things and everything is about them, them, them. But what we're not looking at is, well, how are you showing up in the relationship? Don't give me this bullshit of like, well, I'm showing amazing. I'm trying to give them love. It's like, no, then you're trying to control the outcome because you're trying to give it to somebody that's not reciprocating that to you. Because limerence, it feels all consuming. It touches the deepest fucking parts of you, the parts that crave love, validation, and safety. But the truth is, the love that you're searching for, it's not external. It starts within you. And every single fucking step you take towards choosing yourself is you going towards the love that you deserve. And I want you to take action this week. I want you to prioritize one thing. And whether that's setting a boundary and saying no, whether that's journaling, whether that's reaching out to someone that makes you feel safe, I want you to really get curious. How can you show up for yourself? And of course, as always, we have the courses. You need more support. You've got the foundation course. You've got the breakup course. You've got the nervous system course. You have tools. And the reality is that you don't need more, right? Like this whole episode, even when Ryan and I was formulating the episode and I kept saying, bah, come on, I want to go deeper. And Ryan looked at me finally and said, yeah, but Sab, you say it yourself. He's like, how much more could you possibly talk about the same thing before it's now? Okay, well, what are we going to do about it? Right? We know that limerence is the dopamine. We know that it's an addiction. We know that your brain, you're not broken. You're on a fucking addiction loop. It's the same as having the needle in your arm. That's them. Now you get to choose. What am I going to do with it? Right? It's the same as an addict coming and going, okay, well, how do I get rid of this? It's like, oh, you don't. We got to figure out what's causing it to begin with. What's the root issue? What needs of yours have gone unmet? And how can you show up for yourself? What boundaries can you place? What patterns can we break? How can you change the way you speak to yourself? This takes time. The girl I was to the girl I am now took me 7 years. Now we're in 2025. So 7 years to become this version. Give me another 7. I'll be a version I won't even fucking recognize now because it's a progress. But I want you guys to know that it starts with make them a real person. Take them off the pedestal. Take the fucking shine off these people and start seeing them for who they really are. You don't know who these people are. And when I say you don't really know, no, you don't get to know people over text. You get to know people by spending time with them and scratching the surface, asking questions of depth, and seeing if they have the bandwidth to show up for you in the ways that you deserve and need. But I need you to show up for that way too. Who else is going to? My mom always used to say that. She was like, if you don't do it yourself, ain't nobody else going to. And it's the same shit with this. No one's responsible for your healing and no one is responsible for dealing with your bullshit, right? Not even me, as much as I'd love to. Same with me. Right? My own stuff. It's nobody else's. You guys don't have to be responsible for my fucking insecurities. I don't need to project those onto you. It's mine to work through. But that doesn't mean that they don't still exist. So if you guys are going through limerence, rest assured, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You're not fucked up. You just got some shit to heal through. And that's what we are working towards. So guys, I hope that this was able to help. Realistically, when it comes to limerence, there's not as much more to really go over because it kind of gets repetitive, right? Okay, we get it's dopamine. We understand that it's the addiction loop and we understand that's the brain. So now it's about implementing these tools and getting curious with IFS parts work of like, yeah, what parts of me are coming out? How do I feel like I'm trying to protect myself? What do I need for myself right now? And how can I show up for that for me? These are powerful questions that if you ask yourself that every day and you commit to this practice, you'll start to see your fucking life change. So guys, that's it. That's it for me today, babies. Thank you guys for everything. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for hanging with us. And thank you guys for sharing the show, rating and reviewing it, and just listening along. It means the fucking world. As always, guys, I love you. And until next week, babies.
This is Eva Longoria from Hungry for History with Eva Longoria and Maite Gomez-Rejon. Like the song says, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And and also a wonderfully busy one. All that merriment can weigh down even Santa's sleigh. So keep it wonderful by keeping yourself wonderful with a crisp, cold Coca-Cola. Ah, pause for fizzy joy. Look out for yourself, and then look out for everyone else. And together, we'll make this season as wonderful as it's meant to be. Enjoy a Coca-Cola. Refresh your holidays.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.